go on a Friday. Sherry, I'm sorry I'm not there with you.
That's okay.
By the way, they renamed the show. They have a harder time naming this show than they do ferries in Seattle. Show is now called The John Curley and Sherry. Would they put your last name in there? Sherry McSherry Face?
I think it's John Curley and Sherry Curley.
That would make it much easier. Will you marry me for the show? Diving into the news! Wow, scary news of 5 shootings in Seattle. By the way, they'll put more police in areas where the shootings have occurred. So you'll get more police doing more policing in areas where the shooting occur. And if those areas are minority communities, you'll see more police doing more police stops. So it's not a bias. You have more police in areas where the crime is occurring. The crime is occurring in minority spots. It's not that they are looking for only black people, and that is not the bias of the policing. That is just there's more police in those spots, just to sort of throw that in there. Oh, and by the way, the other bit of news, nice to kind of write off of Chris Martin moving up in the world doing anchoring now, that they're looking for people that are willing to try the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
The experimental vaccine, to see what could possibly happen to you. Would you sign up for that, Sherry?
You know, as I heard it, I knew you were going to ask me that because you know I love my boosters. I love my vaccines.
Yeah, anything.
Anything to help.
Right.
I don't think that I would do the experimental ones because there's not enough information out
there.
Why
not? They need people. They said 60. I don't know how old you are. That photo they took of you yesterday, you look 190.
I look 190, and I look like I am scrunching down to be as short as humanly possible. And you're a giant.
So, I do.
Yeah.
It
so I need that vaccine. Maybe I need a booster to make me a little taller.
It looked like that the Guinness World Book of Records thing where you'd see the person, like the smallest person in the world, the guy who always had like a... And they always put next to the tallest person in the world.
Right.
It was always, the shortest person's like, really? I can't just stand on my own and just be 2 feet tall.
And we both look relatively drunk, you know?
Yes.
I mean, we're both making like funny faces, like, So, yeah, I don't know.
And I'm a weird kind of half tan, half not tan kind of thing going on. I should throw Jacob in there to say, this is what a normal person looks like.
Well, plus you had on your special unwashed shirt. So that really added to it as
Slept in that last night. Maybe that's why I'm not feeling well, because you kept telling me they spray those things down with some weird thing. Or Jacob mentioned that, or somebody mentioned that they spray those shirts. Is that what it was?
I think a listener wrote in, actually.
What is it? How do they keep them clean?
They called it a generic deodorizer. I don't know if this is true. We're just trusting the listener on this one, but yeah.
Hey, listen, we don't need to go any further than that. What'd they say?
Yeah, they just said that they spray that on everything to give it that smell, which I've always thought is a little unsettling. But yeah, that's also, I think, why they advise washing it with your own, devices at home.
Devices.
Right. And let's not forget the scabies that Tracy brought up as well. So
that was nice.
Yeah.
She mentioned her kid got scabies, and then she told us where she got the shirt from. So you're telling me the clothes are not clean. They just all smell the same.
Well, they can't wash all the clothes that get donated. I mean, they can't. I don't think they wash.
They should have a giant sign. If you buy the clothes, you must wash them. I didn't know that.
Well, there's this new thing called common sense that occasionally people have, and they probably use it and figure, well, if this has been used by somebody else, it may be a good idea to wash it before
Sherry,
I put it on my back. Yes.
Sherry.
Yes.
I test my immune system constantly. You've seen my car.
Awesome.
I've been in your car, and now that you mention it, I may actually go for one of those experimental boosters after having ridden in that car for about a quarter of a mile.
Also, John, I feel like if there was a sign in a thrift store telling you that you must wash, that would just make you more likely to not wash the clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you would do it just despite the sign.
And isn't
I'm okay. No, I'm all right with this. Just that's for everybody else.
Right.
They should tell you that, because I was under the impression they washed it. They all smell exactly the same. You pick up the pants, you grab the legs, you separate them, you get your nose right in there where the crotch is. Nothing. You know, we all do that, right? Everybody? Huh? Okay, silence. then you do that, or you go under the armpit of a shirt or a jacket, or you pick up, they all have the same smell, which is like, oh, they're all coming out of some big washing machine they have in the back. I didn't know
what,
that.
What, the smelly machine? I mean, no, that smell is horrible. That doesn't smell like clean clothes. That smells like chemical something gross. I'm surprised.
Oh, is that what it says on the side of the container?
Yeah. Chemical something gross. 10 ounces. I mean, this is like directions on shampoo. Do you really need that? I mean, why do you need to be told to wash these clothes that are used?
The first of all, we don't like to use the term used.
Oh, gently used? No.
No, what, lived what in.
Okay, all right.
I would just say one last thing. Do you, just quick round the horn. When you buy new clothes from the store, like T-shirts or a sweatshirt, do you always wash them, or do you like to open them up and get that kind of fresh, just recently touched by a four-year-old Chinese girl smell?
It totally depends. If it's something like towels and sheets and things like that, I always wash everything. If it's a shirt, I may not wash it. If it's pants, I'll wash them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just do the smell test that you were describing, John. Yeah, so I'll admit to that part, I guess. But with new stuff, because I'm not really that stoked to put my nose into the parts of the shirts from the thrift store. But a new thing, if it's from like a nice store, yeah, I'm pretty excited to smell that. And if it's good, I'll definitely just wear it immediately.
Okay, thank you. I have to take Jacob for a half-mile drive in my car.
Yeah. He'll never be the same. My life
Sherry's
has changed.
Sherry's getting out. She goes, What is that? What is that? What? I go, it's a, that's either a mask or a banana peel.
It was a banana peel that had probably been in there for about a year. And meanwhile, I should note, do you see my phone case here? I have a furry phone case, okay? It's nice and furry. It's a pink furry phone case. He talked to me about that about six times yesterday, about how germy and disgusting it was, that it was like a carpet that couldn't get cleaned.
Yeah.
And then I noticed this banana peel in his car that was the color. It blended into the floor mat. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't sure if it was a slippery floor mat or just a peel, because it blended in. It was sort of matted and mushed against the floor.
This is not the news, everybody. If you've turned in for the news, here it is now. School districts rolling out a new COVID-19 test strategy. Let's hope it works.
You're about to see a lot more COVID testing in schools around Western Washington. And that actually has parent Aaron Walker excited.
I think it's great.
Aaron works in environmental health and safety.
The more information we have, the better informed we are.
And her sons, Carson and Rex, go to Bellevue Public Schools. So it may be no surprise that she supports the district rolling out pooled screening, also known as surveillance screening, to identify new COVID cases.
Burying our heads in the sand is not a strategy.
Pooled surveillance is similar to what you're used to seeing in testing, with a swab like this one and a tube. But this tube is a little bit bigger. In fact, you can see it even says pool on it. 5 to 25 people's swabs go inside here.
You're testing asymptomatic people or people you don't suspect to have COVID.
Heather Edlund is the district's executive director of teaching and learning. She explains students at different schools swab their own noses on different days of the week.
So if you do get then a positive result, what happens next?
Right now we're asking families to isolate if they're in the positive pool. Each of those individuals would come in for an individual diagnostic test in order to identify who the positive person is in that pool. We test kids in the morning. We get the results that evening.
You heard that right. It's fast. About a 12-hour turnaround. But Edlund says so far, only about 30% of families have opted in to the testing.
I think people are really hesitant to even do something that might take their kid out of school for even one day.
Mm-hmm. Only 30% have signed up for the thing. So here's what we know from studies from Sweden and Denmark and Israel. That kids that are under the age, I think, of 17 tend not to transmit. And if they do get COVID, it tends to be less severe than obviously in adults. And the parents are not signing their kids up for this thing because they don't want to know. So the one lady said, better than putting your head in the sand. It's like they don't want to know because they don't want to have to then take their kid out and then quarantine their kid. So it's best not to know. And if the kid doesn't feel well, you don't send the kid into school that day, but rather than them having all the tests and then pulling their kid back out again. Isn't it some schools are having them stay in class, so even if they do test positive, they sort of push them off to the side somewhere, or I think they have to wear, they got them a bell and they have to yell, unclean, unclean, as they move from class to class. Or they put them in a spot and then they kind of watch the other kids that are around them. Isn't that how it works?
Well, it's something called test to stay. And what they do is it's a modified quarantine for close contacts of students. So when you get a confirmed case, I guess, then that person obviously has to be isolated. However, if you're just around someone, you know, it used to be that anybody that was around a COVID person or someone that tested positive for COVID, mm-hmm. they always had to isolate. They had to go home and quarantine. They're saying that this would be a little bit different, where they're trying to keep kids in school as often as they can. But if you've come in contact with someone that has it, they'll quarantine you sort of, I guess, not completely. You don't have to go home. It's a totally different system. Mm. And parents seem to be more interested in that because they don't want their kids taken out of school. I guess, wouldn't you want to know, though? Wouldn't you want to know if your kid had been exposed to COVID for fear that they could bring it home and give it to you?
No, I don't care.
You don't think that it's necessary for the rest of the family to know?
Let's go back to your phone in the fuzzy case, Sherry. No, I don't care. My kid going to give it to me? My kid, you know, give you the flu and they give you all the other stuff? And no, I'm not at risk of dying of the thing. I took the J&J thing, so no, I don't need to know. What am I, quarantine my kid in his own, like, room or something and keep him from me? Most of these kids that get this and spread this are giving it and spreading it at home to other people. And if you don't, if you're not in that high-risk thing, you can get COVID, and then you got your immune system could kick in and save on the thing. So, no, it doesn't bother me. Believe me, if I were a kid and I was going into school right now and this whole COVID thing was going on, I would be asking kids, can I please eat your tissue like a Cocker Spaniel? I wanted so much to always miss school that I would be wanting to get COVID. Can I volunteer to sit next to the kid with COVID, please? Because I would want to not have to go to school and avoid it as much as possible. But it is interesting that as scary as they make everybody, or as scared as they would like everybody to be, that only 30% of parents are signing up. Let's see how many more parents sign up long. And maybe if they don't have enough, they'll try to move to mandating that all kids get vaccinated. I guess that would be possibly the next thing that would be coming down the road.
It's possible. It's unlikely. I don't yes. think they're going to mandate that. I really don't. I think that that's going to be too difficult to sell to people, because people have a right to get their kids vaccinated or not. And, you know, I don't think it's going to become a part of the regular vaccine regimen, although that's what people like Dr. Fauci would like to have happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. By the way, the interesting piece, this is, you know, the people, the Great Barrington Declaration had come out about 2 years ago. Actually, it's right after they started doing lockdowns. And they said, you know, there's something needs to be done. I think 850,000 people have now signed the Great Barrington Declaration that lockdowns don't work. And the effects of it are very, very detrimental to the society, the economy, to people. And we will see this long after this COVID thing just becomes endemic. And some of the research that was done, this is one piece in particular from a professor, Carl Hengengag and Ellen Townsend. We're having the conversation about the mental health of children because of the lockdowns.
The literature is pretty consistent that there's a significant, severe impact on children and adolescents when it comes to mental health. And one of the sort of biggest reviews that did a pooled meta-analysis, that's pulling the studies together, suggested worsening of behavior or any psychological symptoms occurred in about 8 in 10 children. Now, that's quite significant. And the evidence shows, why did that occur? There are probably a couple of reasons that are really important in this. One is COVID fear and anxiety. And then the second issue is also social isolation. That came because of restrictive measures. At one point, I think there were something like 150 schools, countries had closed schools. Some places, countries closed them for 2 or more months. Some have been a year. So those two features are really important. What they also show is very high rates in the restrictive phases of the important conditions. Anxiety, 1 in 3 children and adolescents. Depression, maybe about 4 in 10. A couple of features that were interesting in the data as well and worth noting. that older adolescents seem to fare worse than younger children. And I think we can discuss why that might be. Second is females did slightly worse than males.
Yes, when it comes to depression. It was interesting, the last piece of the research they had done, they said all institutions, when considering any action that's taken by the state, you should always think of the children first and grandma second. And this is very much like the UK, especially when it comes to when they look at how they're going to spend their money, how many years, quality years, and what is the use of spending $50,000 on somebody if they only have so many more years left. So it's always, you're always better to side with and decide what is the best case, what's the best action we can take for children first, and then adults and older adults second. Because the kid has 75 years or 80 years of life ahead, right? And the adult, the 60, 70, 80-year-old has a limited amount of time. So do what you can to protect them, but really start to look for all actions directed at the children first. Did you see that part of it, Jacob, when I sent that?
Yeah. He has a bit of a speech impediment.
It's hard to listen to him. I got you. Okay. All right. Let's see. Tracy Taylor on a Friday getting people home. How are we doing already? So far, everybody doing okay? There we go. Kiel Mortgage 1-888-778. KIEL. Kiel Mortgage, the best in the business. Thank you, Laura Kiel, for having coffee.
Sounds like we may have lost John for a moment.
Oh, no.
Well,
let's see. Who we can get back on the line. Yeah. I'll reach out to Jack Stein, who's always seemingly available somehow.
Yeah. In the meantime, we'll talk about Ghislaine Maxwell. Of course, she's on trial right now for sex trafficking with Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, Jeffrey Epstein was the guy that ended up killing himself in jail, or there's always been some debate over what really happened with Jeffrey Epstein. But Ghislaine Maxwell was his main person, and she's on trial right now for helping him during these escapades that he had with these very young women. And during her trial, she's had people come on to include a lot of the accusers of the abuse that Jeffrey Epstein put on these women. And today they had a guy come on that talked about what it was like when he went to the Florida estate that they lived in. And he said that when Jeffrey Epstein was there, things were pretty normal. Like, it was a pretty normal type of arrangement. But when Ghislaine Maxwell appeared on the scene, she became the lady of the house. And because of that, they had all kinds of different rules. And one of them was that you never look at Mr. Epstein in the eye. That when you talk to him, you talk across the room like you're talking to somebody entirely different or not him, because he doesn't like to be confronted that way.
By the way, do we have that role for me and Jacob?
I was going to say, this sounds vaguely familiar. You told me that when I showed up last week, right? Or this week, and you said, Jacob pulled me aside and said, don't ever look directly at him. You know, it's a really
look
bad
down,
thing.
Look up, look right. down, look up.
Look.
My dad used to do this annoying thing, just he thought it was sort of funny. He would look at people's foreheads just above your eyes.
Is it because he didn't like to look in the eye, or he thought that was more comfortable for the person he was looking at?
It was just an annoying, stupid thing he used to do. He thought it was funny. But back to this nutty lady.
Yeah.
They have her dead to rights, don't you think?
Absolutely. I can't believe she hasn't taken a plea deal on this, because there's not a shred of evidence that she didn't do this. I mean, she has been implicated with anybody that's testified, anybody that's been around this thing. They say that she was the one, she was the operator, she was the madam.
Yeah, super weird. I mean, she would dress the girls and stuff. I think she helped set up some modeling agency. It was so obvious what she was doing. I don't even know why they bothered to have a trial. And what are they going to charge her with?
Well, they're charging her with sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And this guy today that testified, or this guy, I guess it was yesterday maybe that he testified, he talked about how they were handed a 58-page book called Household Manual. And this was a book about what they could and couldn't do. They were told what to wear. They were told to never question anything. You haven't seen anything. You haven't heard anything. You have to respect privacy. He said that he saw teenage girls come in and out of the house. And then he was the one that got to, how would you like this job, clean up the massage table.
I watched that documentary that was done.
Yeah, I did too.
And yeah, I get a little repetitive, but they would go to the girls and find the one girl would get say, yeah, sure, come. And then they'd do a massage and, you know, whatever they do. And then the girl was then given money to recruit other girls to come and sort of, you know, become part of his little weird harem of young girls. I guess they're going to get her on international child trafficking as well. Because they would fly these girls in and out of the country, right?
Yeah, they would fly them on the Lolita Express. And yes. What also came out recently was that it looks like Clinton, Bill Clinton, remember him? He flew on the Lolita Express 26 times. 26 times. Now, he didn't always go. A lot of times this Lolita Express would go to this private island that they had in the Bahamas. He didn't always go there, but he took really big trips to Asia and to other places, claiming that it was part of the Clinton Foundation. And also Jeffrey Epstein visited the White House while he was in office 17 times. So the connection to Clinton is pretty strong. Although, of course, they've denied all that, saying that there was, you know, that Jeffrey Epstein had made a $10,000 contribution to his campaign. And that was really what it was all about, that it didn't have anything to do with, you know, any shenanigans.
Yeah, it's $10,000. It's like on Spirit Express, same sort of thing, or Spirit Airlines. You $10,000, you get a certain number of flights on the Lolita Express. There's a whole bunch of people that are on the log. Bill Clinton, Bill Gates. Who else was a bunch of different celebrities and people that you know, and Jeffrey Epstein. People knew what Jeffrey Epstein was up about. This woman, this is the strangest thing that a friend of mine said to me. He goes, I don't know, I just have a hard time finding her guilty. I said, and he goes, because I find her so attractive. What?
Well, she's not unattractive, but you know, I mean, she wasn't she wasn't a great beauty, but. I mean, she was a facilitator. I don't think she was really his girlfriend. The rumor is that she really wanted to be his girlfriend. She really wanted to be, wanted to be romantically involved with him. And I think for a time they may have been, but then she just turned into this person that recruited these young girls. And then it was almost like a multi-level marketing, you know, where they would recruit, she would recruit a girl, and then they would pay that girl to recruit other girls who would recruit other girls. And, you know, everybody would get a couple $100 here and there, and then they would all service Jeffrey Epstein. And I guess her, too. Yeah. She was sort of involved in some of the sexual encounters as well.
We have some of the sound from one of his alleged victims.
Right. This is a young lady who talks about how she felt guilty about the fact that she was a recruiter and that she was only 16 years old. She didn't really know what she was getting herself into. And then they made it sound like, you know, hey, why don't you have a friend come over and why don't you have somebody, you know, join you? And then before she knew it, she had a bunch of her really good friends involved in this whole thing. And she feels terrible about it. And she she uses the quote unquote excuse that she was a little too young to completely understand what she was doing.
I wanted a fresh start.
Haley Robson says she first met Jeffrey Epstein in 2002. She was an unsuspecting 16-year-old high schooler in West Palm Beach, Florida, when a classmate recruited her.
I was told the more you do, the more you make. I was told, you know, it would be possibly in your bra and underwear, but it would just be a massage.
Desperate to leave behind childhood trauma, Robson agreed to go to Epstein's Palm Beach estate. She says the massage turned into something more when Epstein masturbated and fondled her. When he tried to take it further, she says she refused. That's when he offered to pay her $200 for every girl she brought to him.
Did you realize the damage that he was doing to you?
I did not understand that I was being sexually abused. I didn't understand how to really classify that. Is it sexual assault? Is it rape? Is it molestation? I'm 16.
Robson recalls seeing a girl come out of the bathroom with Epstein, both in towels.
She was just very closed off, like holding herself like this and walking out of the room with her head down. And I know that look. It was probably one of the only images, besides the actual abuse, that I have flashbacks.
just the way that she was looking or not looking.
Never forget it.
God, this girl's, it's kind of mess you up for your entire life. 45% of Americans believe that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. The majority of people when polled believe that somebody murdered him. I think the way it was supposed to work was he was in there, the original videotape of him trying to kill himself first mysteriously disappeared. And then he is in there by himself. They're supposed to watch him every half hour. Someone's supposed to come by. Plus, he's also supposed to have somebody in the jail cell with him since he is suicidal. They didn't have anybody in there. Sherry, big question for you. This could be a dividing point for you and the audience. Do you believe Jeffrey Epstein hung himself?
No.
Do you want to wait? Do you want to wait in 10 years from now? Tell us what you think.
Having worked in the prison system.
Oh, God. Here we go. Okay. Jacob.
All right.
Let's make note. Every time Sherry talks about working in the prison system. Yeah.
You got a drink.
I'll put a whiteboard up. Put a marker.
There you
go.
I know that there are so many times when people are asleep at the wheel that they don't do what they should do. It is entirely possible that he did kill himself because it was just negligence on the part of the staff there. Because the people were asleep, the videotape stuff didn't work. It all seems suspicious, but I'm telling you, that is all par for the course a lot of times in prison. And I think it's much more likely that, yeah, he just didn't want to go to prison. He was just, you know, that kind of a guy. So I think he might have killed himself.
Okay, you're leaving yourself open there. Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
Might have. It's too many coincidences. Plus, he told the doctors and told the prison people just about 2 weeks before that he was not suicidal. And he was going to spill the beans on everybody, right? He had so much he could have turned over on people. Huge, very, very powerful people. And it just doesn't seem... I'd use the old joke that Jeffrey Epstein hung himself like Christmas lights hang themselves. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. Here we go. On a Friday. Thanks a lot for joining us. You're writing, and that is good. I think lots of people writing in already. By the way, Jacob, I've already sent you a picture of the car with the banana. You can show that to Sherry so that you bring back some good memories for her.
Oh, sorry. Was I only supposed to share it to Sherry? Because I put it online already.
Well, that's
it's fine if you don't, really. I lived it.
It's too late. It's already online.
I don't need
online.
To see it. Okay.
Yeah, right. It's not as embarrassing as having a flight attendant come along and say what to you, Sherry.
Did you work in the prison system? No. Stop breastfeeding your cat, ma'am.
This is part of the thing that they now need to do when it comes to the, you know, pre-flight, letting everybody know where the exits are. Red lights turn to green lights and the exits are there. And then the thing's going to drop from the ceiling and put yours on before aiding somebody else. And then please put your breast away and don't feed the cat. Who's speaking? Is this the flight attendant, Jacob?
Yeah, it looks like someone dressed as a flight attendant. Yeah, it does seem like that's who it is.
You're so skeptical.
Y'all wanted an update, so here it is. This is just so crazy. This woman had one of those, like, hairless cats swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby. And her shirt was up, and she was trying to get the cat to latch, and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier, and the cat was screaming for its life. Well, you know those, like, little butter packets that you get from, like, an Italian restaurant when they don't have olive oil with the foil top? She took the butter and... Yeah. It's so weird. Like, what was she doing at home? What does she do at home if she's doing that in public?
Mind reels.
That's really... That makes the banana peel look okay.
I tell you something. The weirdest part of the story was the pre-show meeting we had. And was it you or Jacob that said, yeah, I'm kind of all right with breastfeeding the cat, but it was a hairless cat.
I did not say it was all right. I just said that it did make it worse than I had once I learned that it was hairless. Because all the images that the news outlet, because a lot of news outlets picked up.
Hold on. Right at 1 to 10, breastfeeding a cat, 1 to 10, as far as horrible in your mind.
So genocide, I guess, is a zero, right?
No. Like, just as far as, like, shocking you. Yeah. 1 to 10. 10 being, like, horrible, right? The worst.
Sure. It's still only, like, an 8, probably.
But then when you take the hair off the cat, it takes it up to, what, a 9 or a 10?
Right, 8.5 at least, yes.
So, can we just discuss the idea of breastfeeding a cat in general? Is that something that is possible? I don't have a cat.
By the way, you're new to the show. Tom and I are number 3 in that demo. So we don't want to offend anybody.
All right.
So go ahead. Tread lightly.
All right. And then what about the abuse?
You're an animal lover.
I am an animal lover, but I'm not that much of an animal lover. And the fact the cat was screaming means that this isn't a regular thing.
That's hungry cat.
Well,
get some butter on that thing.
Oh, God. Gross.
I mean, so this is a whole new world. Rather, like, excuse me, sir, you're kind of hogging the armrest. Excuse me, ma'am, you're breastfeeding your hairless cat, right? It's a whole new level of disgusting things that occur on planes.
Now, if you were sitting next to the woman and she dropped the butter, would you have picked up the butter like the grape and eaten it? Yeah. I mean, it's a fair question, John.
It is a fair question.
And there wouldn't have been hair because it was a hairless cat. So butter might have been rather pristine at that point.
God, I wish I was sitting next to that lady. I mean, you could get years and years and years out of that story, right? I mean, that is one where people are like, whoa, come here. Hey, Alan, come here. Alan, tell the story. That was like 70 years ago. You're like, oh, it'd be such a great story.
You can make it your own. Nobody has to know. Give it a year.
No, because people look it up, and then I can't be taking that one. Stick with the banana story.
Okay.
All right. Tracy Taylor, you didn't hear that last one, did you, about the lady breastfeeding the hairless cat?
Oh, no, I heard every bit of that.
All right. Yeah.